Welcome.
I'd like to know, are you ready for some super dynamite?
Now spell O-P-L.
Like this.
That is incorrect. The correct spelling of O-P-L is...
Greetings and welcome to On the Loose, show number 4. We made it to show number 4. No one said we could, but we did.
Yeah!
This is the podcast that is here to entertain and inform you about new, old, or just great music that may have gone overlooked. We've gathered a panel of music enthusiasts spanning a broad age range, tastes, musical backgrounds, to get together and discuss various genres and topics of music. My name is KB, and joining me today, as always, is Mr. John Piazzo.
Thank you.
That was nice.
Much. Thank you.
That's very delightful.
Hello, ladies.
Mr. Jason Noir.
Hi, everyone. Stay tuned in about 45 seconds when I talk about this song I've been listening to.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of a callback.
Yeah.
Call forward, if you will.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. And Mr. Freddie Arnold.
I want to rush this along because I don't want to overstretch the time limits of hearing about Jason's song. Let's go.
All right, go. No. Freddie, it's great to see that you have your piece of crap paperback instead of your notepad.
What's that?
Yeah, he reverted to the paper instead of the fancy notebook, so he's proud of that. Anyway, let's get started on the what have you been listening to new music discoveries part of the show. Go ahead and start with Jason. What have you? You're so excited about this.
I am so excited.
I can't
Everybody still
believe.
Tuned in?
Yeah.
Okay.
We lost them in that 45 seconds.
Okay, for all you post-punk and goth fans out there...
Yeah!
They don't get that excited. What are you talking about?
Oh, sorry.
They're sitting in the dark under a blanket, lighting
I
candles,
would be.
Wearing black.
There's no doubt I would be right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Let's go with the glove like an animal.
Let's check it out.
This is a combination of two
Wait, this
bands.
Is what you've been listening to recently?
This is an old song. This is just something I brought up and I wanted to talk about for all the goth fans out there. This is a mixture of The Cure and Susie and the Banshees.
Like literally a mixture.
Yeah.
It's got Robert Smith and elements of Susie.
Steven Severn is
Yeah. And the lead singer is actually Budgie, the drummer from Susie and the Banshees' girlfriend, who was also secretly dating Susie at the time, but...
Her name is Budgie?
Jeanette Landry.
Yeah. His name is Budgie. No,
the
his
drummer's name is Budgie, yeah. And it's his girlfriend that sings because apparently contractually Robert Smith couldn't sing.
Right.
So they had to have somebody do it and they were like, oh, well, I've got a girlfriend that sings.
Yeah. Strangely, he did end up singing on two of the songs. But if you get the 2006, I believe it is, remastered version.
That was the box set or whatever.
Yeah, he redoes all of the songs. He lays down the vocals on all the songs. Anyway, what did you guys think of this song?
Freddie, what did you think of this super...
My only note for this song is, Tuesday in the Sun, nothing could be worse. And I thought to myself, there's things that could be worse than Tuesday in the Sun.
Not for a goth.
Yeah.
You well, put a goth true. Out in
I
the sun.
I didn't put myself in their shoes. You're right.
Yeah.
It was definitely channeling a New Order vibe.
I agree. When this song first started, I thought, is this a New Order song?
I actually had to look it up because I was like, I don't remember Peter Hook playing with them.
Right.
The bass line is almost identical to what he does.
And I really like Susie and the Banshees and The Cure. I wouldn't consider myself like a goth fiend or anything. But
no, me neither.
I do like those guys. But together, I wasn't so hot on it. I didn't really think it was all that necessary because it sounded so much like the parts of their own bands that came together, and it just sounded like...
Well, you can definitely tell that.
Right, yeah. It sounded like those two bands came together and did like a joint effort.
What I really like is the bass lines. I think they're amazing. Now, what I don't like... I'm not a big fan of the vocals. I really...
Oh, I don't... No, I didn't think she was
so
that great
flat,
either.
And I don't know why they went with her. Actually, she has no singing experience. She was a dancer on BBC's Top of the Pops. And I guess because she was Budgie's girlfriend. And Budgie was off doing the side project with Susie, the Creatures. They were recording the album at that time, so...
I pulled up some of her solo stuff, and I gave it about 15 seconds, and I was out.
Yeah.
So... Hmm. No, but I mean, and I love the goth scene. That was like one of my, let's
Boy,
be honest.
Boy, the stories this guy could tell.
Trust me. Absolutely.
It's but like yeah, dancing in the dark by yourself.
That's true.
Yeah.
With glow sticks. No, that was later. And I love the goth scene, but this, I just never got into this particular album.
Yeah.
And even though it had elements of two of my favorite bands.
It should be a goth supergroup and just be like amazing. But I just thought it was... Okay. Yes, Freddie.
Freddie's raising his
hand. The thing that I thought was interesting about this particular project, because I'd never heard of The Glove prior to, you know, this recommendation, was the fact that Robert Smith and Stephen Severin, this was like their, our normal bands are too stressful, so let's go form a band together and like have a relaxed band.
Yeah.
And it was right after The Cure's Pornography, which I really liked that album.
Yeah.
And it was like very dark and Susie, this was like their, I guess, dancey.
Susie and Budgie had also left. To go
form the creatures and record an album there.
So they were had downtime.
The guitarist for Susie, I don't remember his name, he got sick and he had to leave the band right in the middle of the tour. And The Cure and Susie, they were touring together. Mm. So Robert Smith had to do double duty and play guitar. Why are y'all smiling when
so
I said
funny.
Duty? Had to play guitar for Susie and then sing in The Cure. So.
And history was made. There
and
you
history
go.
Was made.
Yeah. Well, excellent.
Excellent. All right. How about John? What have you been listening to lately?
Well, currently, I have been listening to a very little-known singer-songwriter out of New York named Nature Boy.
Brooklyn!
Yes.
And the song is called Pariah. Let's take a listen to that while Freddie recovers.
Wait. She's from Seattle, dude.
Brooklyn!
Brooklyn, Seattle. Good. They're close.
Yeah.
All right, let's check out Nature Boy, no matter where she's from. The song's called Pariah. Let's check it out.
Pariah, eating away without blessing. Can't get over it, still owing more to dread. Rendered immune and remorseless. Who's gonna be your next kill?
All right, her name, I'm going to say this terribly wrong, but Sarah Kermanshahi.
That sounds right to
right?
me.
Yeah.
First
no,
born,
yeah. You nailed it.
An American, but born of Iranian descent. And she likes to play with her hair in her eyes.
Yeah, I couldn't stand that.
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
That video of this song.
There's a video?
Yeah, it's a really nice video. It's shot extremely well, and it's very nice. And it sounds like they recorded it live, so the music's a little bit different than the recorded version.
Right.
But, yeah, it's very well done.
And it's really, it was kind of difficult doing research on her because there's not a lot out there.
No, there's not.
I couldn't even find the lyrics to this song.
I did find a lot about the Nature Boy Ric Flair, though.
Did you?
Yeah.
Not, no relation, good. Though.
Yeah, no.
So am I correct? I know I could have been wrong about Brooklyn. I think she's from there now. Maybe not. But anyway, is this correct? She was in a band previously called House on the Hill. Yes,
I didn't have that information.
Well,
so I'm going to go yes, because
all right,
it's
we'll
you,
go with
Freddie.
It. Hey, Bleak Records, that's her record label. And I think it kind of fits the music as well.
Yeah,
a little bleak. Yeah.
It is bleak.
What I think was drawn into mostly with her is I envision her singing with her eyes closed, just completely, totally absorbed in what she's doing. And she's not a bad guitar player.
No, not at all. I thought I was impressed with, I mean, the song is so stripped down and raw as it is, and it just...
It's so
the guitar playing
emotionally
is very nice.
Wrought, and it has such a... and I love that. You know me. I love sad bastard music.
Yeah.
It's very cinematic, too.
It is.
Yeah.
And
I thought that, that it sounds very honest, and it sounds like something that could have been in a movie like Harold and Maude or something. You know, very kind of open and sentimental, like a girl version of Cat Stevens.
Yeah, I can see that.
Kitty
she
Stevens.
Doesn't remind me of...
Yes.
Kitty Stevens.
When I say Cat Power... I don't talk about Cat Power in the same way as a vocal style. But Cat Power has that raw emotion to her voice.
Right.
And her singing, I mean, she's just, she owns the music.
Yeah.
When she sings.
And it gets you, it kind of grabs you and gets you involved.
Exactly. And that's what this, I'm telling you, this blew me away the first time I heard it.
Yeah, the first time you sent it to me, I was like, this is very nice. You know, because you sent it to us a while ago.
Yeah. It's,
and so we've been listening to it off and on for the past.
I haven't.
Except for Freddie.
I listened to it last night.
That's good.
Like 4 in the morning.
You're prepped for the show. That's good. So, Freddie, what did you think? What was your initial thought of this song?
I couldn't find the lyrics, so I didn't know what she was saying.
Okay, so no lyrics, no song, no likey.
It was all right. Didn't jump out to me, but I'm glad John likes it. And it's very obscure, like he said. So I commend him for picking something so out of the box.
Yeah, it's very hard to find any info on this. And it's weird because usually people are like, look at me, expose your, try to, get. But this was really hard to find anything about.
But, then she has that beautiful video.
Yeah.
On Vimeo. And then she has, the only other thing I could find was like a couple of live, poorly handheld shot clips.
She's like the Terrence Malick of indie pop acoustic rock.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice.
I think that's what she's billing herself as.
Now, I wasn't sure if Jason liked it or not. I mean, I think...
Oh, no, I liked it very much. Okay. Yeah, I did. Like I said, I thought it was very cinematic. I could see it in, I don't know what movie.
A movie,
yes.
A Terrence Malick movie?
No, because he doesn't like it.
Yeah, he wouldn't do that. He'd be like, sell out.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I think
we all liked it. That was good. Freddie?
Yes.
Dear Freddie, what have you been checking out?
Well, I loved Operation Ivy when I was a teenager. They were a ska band.
Who didn't?
Members went on to form Rancid, which is a pretty well-known band. But the singer, Jesse Michaels, has a new band called Classics of Love. This song you're about to hear is called Castle in the Sky. Let's check it out.
So yeah, you're a pop punk kind of connoisseur, and I'm pretty sure that you, dear listener, heard a majority of that song in that 30-second clip.
Yeah,
it's like
30
what
seconds.
A minute and 30 seconds. Yeah,
that's what I like about this. There's 13 songs on the album. The album's only 23 minutes long.
That's awesome.
It's perfect for the ADD world.
That's like 2 Kraftwerk songs.
Believe it or not, I liked this song, Freddie.
What?
Yeah, I did. I think that their main hook there was just great. I didn't really dig it as much when they go into like the ska kind of janky sound, but their main hook there, I really enjoyed. And going back to the all ages shows that I used to host back in the day, I have seen pretty much every pop punk all ages show that you can imagine. And these guys honestly reminded me, like you said, you can definitely hear the Operation Ivy influence that Jesse brings to this new band.
Mm-hmm.
So, I enjoyed it. Is it something I'd listen to all the time? Probably not. But as far as this genre goes, I did enjoy the song.
But if you have 30 seconds to kill, I mean, you
well,
knock
sure.
it out.
Yeah.
I thought it was too political. And I think in this modern society that we live in, this age of apathy, I just don't think songs with a message like this will really play.
My notes actually were... San Francisco.
San Francisco, what do you mean?
That's just
like they're
wrote.
The San Francisco tree?
I wrote down.
Yeah. So you could...
I just wasn't totally
you were listening
into
to the
it.
Song, and all you had time to write down was San Francisco.
That's right.
Okay.
That's all I really wanted to write down.
Okay.
Nothing really grabbed me in this.
Nothing against Freddie, because I know you love your pop punk. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just got to a point where I just can't listen to a lot of that anymore. And like I do like the hook, like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had elements that I really, really like, but I don't know. I've heard so many punk songs played in that same beat, and I've heard a ton of other bands do it better.
My initial impression was obviously Operation Ivy, but then I also felt like even Real Big Fish and maybe even some Voodoo Glow Skulls without the, the crazy frantic horn solos and stuff. But yeah, I mean, there are other bands doing similar things, but it sounded like an updated pop punk, if post pop punk is a thing, I guess.
Well, they also have a lot of influences of like 80s hardcore, which you don't hear as much in this song, but if you listen to the rest of the album, it's very, thrashy, and, this is one of the few songs that actually has the ska elements in it. The other 3 guys in the band, other than Jesse Michaels, are from a band called the Hard Girls. Hard Girls, yes.
Can you say that on our podcast?
I think we can.
Okay.
but, yeah, It's I'll admit it's not the most progressive musical thing. Like, it's not breaking any new boundaries. But for me, like, growing up on this and just getting to hear him singing again and having that same feeling as Op Ivy, and if they ever come here and they tour, you know, I'll be first in line to see them. So if anyone,
you'll be second, pal, because you'll be right behind me.
Asia Man Records, check it out.
I'll say this for them. When listening to it, it did seem like it would be a pretty good live show.
It's fun. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? The video was pretty cool, too. It kind of looked like something David Lynch would have shot.
I can see that. Very minimalistic.
Yeah, so yeah. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's like they shot it in their closet with, like, two lights or something.
Yeah, that's really the budget nice. For
yeah.
classics of
But it works,
video.
And it's great. So I enjoyed it, and I think it was kind of mixed feelings all around.
Kind of the opposite of the video for the song that you picked this week.
That's true. That's very true. I picked a band that I actually talked about last time. It's a two-piece, and they are called Middle Class Rut. The song I picked was New Low. Let's check it out.
A cold shoulder used to cry. You feel bad, well, so do I. Yeah, so do I.
I gotta tell you, when I heard this song, at first I was like, well, okay. And then the chorus came in.
Yeah.
And that is a badass chorus. It reminded me a lot of Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like I said, it's two guys.
Yeah, and then when I started researching that and I found out it was just a two-piece.
And they pull this off
wow.
live, too. I mean, yeah. Any live video you see, even poorly shot ones, these guys are nailing this. It's crazy.
Okay, so the drummer, because I saw some of these live videos, the drummer is sitting back there playing guitar, playing the drums with his feet, and singing. Like, I'm amazed when somebody can sing and play drums.
Well, it's
right.
obvious
the
that they use harmony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, we talked about Mr. Gnome. You know, that's just one singer. They
right.
do some fascinating things. Coming in March, by the way, to Dallas, Texas.
Ew.
Mr. Gnome.
Nice.
But, yeah, I loved this. Loved it.
Great.
And it was
yeah.
very different, and I really enjoyed the, it had that Perry Farrell sound to it.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that the fact that these guys sing harmonies so well that it kind of intertwines, and you can't really tell which one is singing at which time.
Exactly.
I think it's very nice. And a lot of their album is like that, and they record a lot by themselves. They'll rock it out in their rehearsal space, record it immediately, so it's got that intense kind of immediacy to the song.
Right.
And I think it's very well done. And like I said, it's amazing.
It's very aggressive, you know, for a two-piece, you know, a lot of these bands that I've heard, they're, you know, the aggressiveness is not always there.
Freddie's shaking his head. What do you think, Freddie?
I was completely bored by this song.
You were bored.
I didn't think it was aggressive at all. It's just not, I could say worse things, but it just wasn't for me. Like, it reminded me of the Gorillaz for some
what?
Reason.
What?
With like the like, slow, like repeating the chorus, like
I would imagine, I would honestly agree with you more if you meant the Animals, like the gorilla, the animal,
yeah.
playing music, and not like the Gorillaz, Damon Albarn.
It looks is also I wrote down Linkin Park, which I know you probably.
Oh my
know
god!
Get the
okay.
Seriously?
Wow.
Yeah.
Linkin Park is the only show I've ever walked out on,
dude.
And I was smart enough not to walk into that one.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
No, okay.
It's like
on.
Rapping and singing, and I mean, don't you see the similarity there?
No.
No.
If I say no, yeah, no, I'm going with no.
Yeah, I'm going with no as well.
No, I don't see any similarities between rapping and Middle Class Rut.
Like rapping a present?
I thought they rap. They rap, don't they?
Did you listen to the right song?
He kind of talks a little bit, but I mean, it's yeah, not anything
I guess,
near...
But... It's not like, you know, like
not
a,
breaking
a gorilla
out Andre
style
3000
rap.
Here.
Yeah. I don't know. So you didn't like it or you just weren't feeling it?
Isn't that the same thing?
No. I mean, if you don't if you don't like it, that's one thing. But if you weren't like, oh, this really isn't my thing.
It wasn't the worst song I've ever heard, but it just the video was like so, you know, like they're singing near a campfire and the fire is in their face and they're getting shot by a firing squad. And I was just like, it's just, they're trying to overcompensate, it seemed like for me. Like, whereas the Classic of Love made a video with absolutely nothing Like, these guys made this, like, very elaborate video for this song. That, and the song sounds pretty overproduced, in my opinion, as well.
Wow.
Well.
Wow. Man.
That's fine. I liked your song, Freddie, you know.
Y'all aren't friends anymore.
No. No, that's cool, though. I mean, if you didn't like it, that's cool. I think you would like other songs that they have, because they do have almost a schizophrenic taste on the album. Like, they'll record really hard and fast, and then they'll come in with, like, a song that's kind of mid-tempo, and then they'll come in with, like, a song that's slower. But I don't know. I think if you checked more into Metal Class Rut, you might like them more.
Do they play these guys on the radio?
They did for a little while, and I think I even read that they may have used this song in particular for an NBA promo. I don't know. I don't follow basketball. It's not a real sport, so I don't really pay attention to it.
Wow.
So
no.
What? You get a goalie.
Now a fight is going to break out at any moment.
NBA, seriously, yawn.
Welcome to SportsCast!
Sports Wiener.
There's a drop.
Yeah. So, okay, let's move on.
Well, did anyone else want to say it? I just trashed it. I want to hear someone praise it.
Okay.
I was praising it the entire time.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Okay.
We came to praise Middle Class Rut.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the new music segment. We actually have a lot to get into on this show, and we're excited. Freddie, are you excited? Let me hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That was great excitement, Freddie.
Sorry, I'm a little sick this episode, so I apologize.
What's the matter?
Did you stay up too late?
I did, actually.
What were you doing up so late?
I was listening to all these great tunes, guys.
Awesome, Freddie.
We didn't have this, like, days in advance.
Okay, so speaking of days in advance, John called me the other night, and he was so excited about this next topic, he couldn't wait to tell me.
I can't wait!
He literally is coming out of his seat, ladies and gentlemen. He cannot wait to talk about Whitney Houston. So I turn it over to John.
I can't. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. So I don't know if anyone has heard or not. This may be breaking news.
Don't tell me something happened.
But Whitney Houston
is
no longer with us. She has passed away due to something in drugs or something along that line. We don't know yet.
Okay.
This isn't necessarily,
John's a huge Whitney fan.
No, no. See, now this is, when we all had our show discussion there, we were kind of split down the middle whether to talk about this or not. And I think that it's timely because she was a pretty big name. It was music oriented. But here's my one question, and I think we can all agree with this. Was it just a little over the top, the coverage on it, the media coverage?
You mean the media coverage of her funeral and all of that?
Not just the funeral. I mean
everything.
Everything.
Okay.
It just seems like it was way out of control.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Well, how's it any different than the coverage Michael Jackson got?
Well, see, my whole discussion with Michael Jackson is Michael Jackson was a true iconic figure. Infamously and famously, we saw him grow up from a little boy, have huge success with the Jackson 5, huge success on his own. He was, you know, a very influential, he was the king of pop, there's no doubt. You know, Whitney Houston had a nice career.
Well, no, I think in the late 80s and early 90s, there was nobody bigger. There was no bigger vocalist than Whitney Houston.
You
I will
argue,
always love you.
I will always say Madonna, because Madonna was gigantic.
Sure, but at
I
that
mean,
time,
massive.
Bodyguard, there was nobody bigger than Whitney Houston.
Well, that's fine.
I can
wait,
see
wait,
why
let
you,
me stop. Yeah. Okay, I am not a Whitney Houston fan, everybody. I'm not, but I understand this. And you
I understand her talent, and I completely agree with the fact that she had this incredible vocal range.
Freddie, okay, come into this conversation. Freddie?
I respect the dead, so yes. Amy Winehouse, she did a cover of The Specials. She also died recently. I'm going to talk about The Specials here in a little bit, so get excited for that. Also, the bassist of MC5 died recently, Michael Davis. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. Take it away, guys.
Freddie is previewing his own bits in the show. So, yeah, celebrate me, Freddie.
Yeah, exactly.
I have nothing to say. I have absolutely nothing to say.
Well, my thing about this, and it might come across as disrespectful, but I don't really care. There were 1,000 other people that died that day that no one has ever heard of that probably sang just as good, if not better. and didn't do this to themselves. They didn't die of a crack overdose or...
Well, we don't know. That's the thing. I mean,
we don't know, but let me tell you.
The gradual, she did have a drug problem. And yes,
if it wasn't a drug, alcohol, prescription drug, it wasn't like she was like, oh, my heart hurts. I'm dying of a heart attack right now because I've lived a long and healthy life. No. She did this to herself, and the media coverage, because it was a slow day, there's obviously no war to cover, so they had to jump onto something. So that to me was just kind of awful, really. I mean, okay, yay, let's celebrate someone who is an amazing singer, but to have a four-hour funeral coverage on network TV,
come on. Preach to the choir now. I thought it was overwrought. I thought it was way over the top. But I will say this, you know, I agree with you in the fact that...
That I'm
someone
right.
Someone who dies by their own, you know, problems, by their own addictions... But yet, boy, we sure celebrate Kurt Cobain dying, killing himself. And we celebrate Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin dying young. And
right.
I think it definitely is kind of a double standard in
a way.
Well,
no one mentions anyone like Billy Strange or the people that Freddie just mentioned. I mean, these guys are amazing musicians that just get swept under the rug.
Well, I agree.
I agree. And we look at Etta James passed recently. Arguably, I think she was a bigger name.
You're getting choked up here, aren't you?
I think Etta James is incredible.
I
think she brought more, and she had her own personal demons as well. But she fought her way through it. But the Whitney Houston thing, I could not get my head around the fact that it was non-stop coverage. And it's still going on.
Yeah. And I think it's ridiculous that the governor, or is it the governor or senator
New Jersey.
Of New Jersey?
Yeah.
Wants to put the flag at half mast.
Yeah, and that's incredibly disrespectful.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, I don't think that's a time or place for that.
No, I don't necessarily agree with the coverage, but I know the coverage is going to be there, and I mean, why not? There's, 300 or whatever channels, and it doesn't affect me. I haven't seen any of the coverage.
Right.
You know, so...
I didn't watch 1 minute of the funeral.
No, I didn't either.
In reading the stories and the online, I was like, I don't care if Bobby Brown got kicked out. He screwed her up. I'm not going to try to paint him now as some sorrowful figure because he destroyed her.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think we beat that one to death. Let's go on. The topic for discussion that we want to cover is something that's really actually affected Jason recently. It's what would happen if you had to start over from scratch your entire record collection. Let's say you lost all your records in a fire or you just have no more music anymore. This is actually a great topic brought up by Freddie. So,
thank you.
Freddie, if you want to start, go ahead.
This was just an interesting thing that I thought, you know, I've heard of people like if you lost all your books or if you lost all your, you know, movies, what would be the one that you had to get back? And, you know, as easy as this question came to me, an answer was much harder and much more thought-provoking than I thought it would be because there's a lot of different ways you can answer this. You could say, like, well, what am I listening to right now? Like, would I buy the CD that I'm just, you know, currently jamming out to?
Right, yeah.
Would I buy something that's an old favorite? Would I buy something that means something to me and my partner, perhaps, you know? So...
Your business partner?
Either way, you know.
Okay.
But for me, I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I went with the Specials self-titled album from 1979. And as I mentioned earlier, I found out in doing a little bit of research that Amy Winehouse was a big fan of the Specials, and she actually did some songs with them live, and did a cover of A Message to You, Rudy, which is the first song off this album. So the album that I picked for this was the Specials self-titled album from 1979, and I think there's a couple of reasons why I went with this particular record. One, it's just from start to finish, I can listen to it as background music or just you know, listen to it straight up in the car when driving. It has kind of a universal appeal, and I always, when I put on this record, you know, I put on when friends came over or whatever, I always think if I ever have a kid, this is something I could play for a kid and just have fun and like dance with the kid, which I know is kind of a sappy thought. But I don't know.
I thought this was a really good pick, Freddie.
Yeah, I think I really.
It's definitely you, and I can see how this has probably influenced you and your musical taste. But I think this was a really strong pick, Freddie.
I've always been into this album. You know, particularly the song Gangsters.
And you know, there was a point in my life where I dreamed of being a ska dancer.
It's true. Didn't we all?
Yeah. I know, seriously, like, I went out and bought the suit and everything.
They actually have a song from this in the movie 16 Candles. It's, and then other special songs have been used countless times in movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, Ghost Town was in the
Snatch.
It's a great
Town's
special
been
song.
In quite a few movies.
Yeah.
Do you know a little bit of trivia about the lead singer of the Specials?
Yes. Okay,
go
moving on.
No.
He actually co-wrote Our Lips Are Sealed.
That's right. Yeah, that's
and
right.
Performed it originally with his band Funboy 3.
That's right.
So. Nice.
Yeah, Funboy 3.
And Jane Wheedlin, I believe.
That's right.
Yep. I thought that was another really interesting thing about this album is Elvis Costello produced it.
Yeah.
Along with, he also produced the Pogues' Rum Sodomy.
Which is
Rum,
a Sodomy brilliant, brilliant record.
Yeah, it's amazing, like, the stuff you don't think about with, like, Elvis Costello and his influence on, like, ska. You know,
yeah,
like
yeah, definitely.
He was influential across the board in England. I mean, just that whole sound of that generation, I think, has his fingerprints.
And these guys did really well in England. Like, mm-hmm. They had number one hits for quite a few albums, I think.
Right. So that was, I guess, English Beat, or in that, you had...
Madness,
yeah. Yeah. That was a great era for music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right, Jason, now talk a little bit about how this actually is affecting you currently.
Okay. Well, I actually... had over 80,000 MP3s on my hard drive, my external hard drive.
All legally purchased.
Of course. And I was moving my laptop, and it was attached to my laptop, and it ended up falling on the ground and breaking. So there went all of my songs. I didn't back it up or anything. And so I was like, okay, right now I am dying to hear Led Zeppelin. I was just in the mood for it, and my favorite album was Led Zeppelin 1, so I had to go out like a chump and buy it again on iTunes. So it's not my favorite album, it's just the one I wanted to hear at that time, so that was my first one.
Well, you can never go wrong getting the Let Out.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point.
How Many More Times, that's the song name, correct?
Yeah, and that's actually what we're listening to right now.
I thought, how many more times are we going to talk about these damn long-as-hell songs?
God. Is that really what you thought, Freddie?
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear the whole song?
I didn't. Another thing I thought was, there's a line where he says, because we previously talked about Led Zeppelin, When the Levee Breaks,
right.
This is even longer than that. So I was just like, oh, man. The thing that I thought was interesting is there's a part in the song where he talks about having 11 kids. He's like, I got 10 kids, one on the way, 11 kids. Made me think of that show, 19 Kids and Counting, which is a great show.
It's an awful show. Okay. They're ruining the world.
Wow.
Jim Bob in Arkansas would love this song.
Please.
John, anything on Led Zeppelin 1?
I think...
just a brilliant record.
It's a great album. This is a great song. I'm pretty sure it's a remake of a Howlin' Wolf song. So that's pretty cool, too. Yeah. And they liked to do the remakes. So that, you know...
Robert Plant was in this band. I watched a movie this weekend about a killer tire, and its name was Robert, and it got horny at one point.
Like horns popped out of
but
the
wait,
tire?
Spoiler alert, hit the spoiler alarm. Hit it! Hit the spoiler alarm. In the end, end of the movie, it gets reincarnated into a tricycle.
Damn it, no, I was almost done with that, and you ruined it.
Rubber, ladies and gentlemen, check it out.
It's Robert Plant, not Rubber Plant.
I said the tire's name is Robert.
Oh.
Don't you know anything?
Cool story, bro.
Damn.
Oh. All right.
Brilliant.
That was great. All right.
I thought it was interesting that we all picked albums that were old as hell,
yeah.
Basically. Mine is the most recent one in 1979. KB's is the oldest at 1967. And then John's is at 1977. So I guess that kind of makes sense that I'm the youngest and I picked the most recent, but still, yeah. 1979, I was, 5 years before I was born or something, so.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that also goes back to, what you were saying, how we could have gone in pretty much any direction. Like, would we want something that's we're currently listening to, something that brings back some sort of sentimentality or something that we just always loved and would want to hear the whole album.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and picked, my pick was The Doors' first album, The Doors.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
I loved that album.
We just got a big hand clap from Kevin.
Good, good. That's what we want to hear. But no, this album, the first time, honestly, it was the Doors movie by Oliver Stone that I went in a different person that I came out. I saw that movie and I just thought, okay, this is it. I went out and immediately bought a lot of their vinyl, just and the first album just really spoke to me. So if I had to start over, I would definitely want to start over again with the Doors' first album. It's got amazing songs. I mean, stuff, groundbreaking stuff that, you know, wasn't being done at the time. It was recorded in 6 days.
That's amazing.
I mean, it was just turned around so fast. And then it shot, you know, shot up the charts because of, you know, Light My Fire or, you know, really, yeah, really good songs. And, you know, it's just, in my mind, it's a solid album. It's something that...
And it was really a flashpoint, too, for the counterculture.
It was, yeah.
Era. Yeah.
And that era, you know, it's being, you know, such a tumultuous time. It was just something that, you know, I think was a little more dark, a little more...
Moody.
Something moody, yeah, that the kids could get into instead of upbeat pop that was out.
Exactly. What you talk about as far as being different, there was nothing like that. Nothing. Nothing that was being led by a keyboard like that. That was so... You know,
Manzarek's an amazing...
A monster.
Yeah. Playing the bass and the melody at the same time.
I remember listening to this record. I basically inherited this album on vinyl, and I would sit there and listen to it in my room all the time. Loved it. Absolutely.
I really like this one, and then Strange Days is also... It's kind of like a Doors album part two, because they used a lot of the stuff that they couldn't fit onto the first album, onto Strange Days.
Yeah, they were both released the same year, right?
Right, yeah.
I didn't realize that the Doors put out 9 studio albums. For some reason, whenever I thought about them, I thought they were one of those bands that were more short-lived.
Right, yeah.
9 studio albums.
Now, how many of those were... Was it 2 without Jim Morrison?
I think so.
Yeah.
And then I think a few of them might have been, like, live, and then I don't know if they're counting Greatest Hits or not, but...
I really enjoyed
that. It was an American...
It was the poetry album?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that poetry album a lot.
Yeah, and they put that out posthumously.
Exactly.
They set a lot of his poetry to music. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
John, what did you pick?
Well, like you were saying, there are so many points of your life, you know, albums that are great. And I had a ton of them in my head. My favorite album of all time is the Beatles' Revolver, which... touches me in no way.
Mmm, whoa.
It's that kind of shit.
John P. Ozzel.
For the ladies.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. Let's reword
Do you
want
to say that differently?
No, but I love that album. It is by far, in a way, my favorite album. I thought of World Party's Goodbye Jumbo. I thought of, you know, 1,000 different albums. But I went with Dark Side of the Moon from Pink Floyd. And the reason why, it was because it actually did happen to me. I had all of my cassettes stolen out of my truck once when I was young. And I probably had 50 or 60 in there. And the first thing I went out and purchased was Dark Side of the Moon again. Not only that, I probably bought that album 5 or 6 times throughout my life, either on cassette.
Because of format change?
Format change, album, you know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that album, it's one of those albums that I can listen to straight through, and I know it's played, and I know it's popular, and I know...
Have you done the Wizard of Oz thing?
Oh, yeah, multiple times.
It's pretty freaky how it lines up.
Various states of mind. So,
right.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I should talk about this, but I have a DVD of the making of Dark Side of the Moon.
I've seen it.
And it's amazing, just some of the stuff that they're doing practically. I mean, this is all on tape. They're literally cutting this with a razor.
It's stunning to actually try to understand or wrap your head around how groundbreaking that album is.
Yeah. I mean, and Money is an off-time signature. I think it's the highest charting off-time signature song ever.
Right.
And the way they accomplish that ka-ching loop, the cash register loop at the beginning, they had to run the tape around a mic stand off of the tape player back into the recorder to make that loop work right. I mean, that's just brilliant.
Insane. Yeah.
That's like stuff that's... to come up with like that is just you don't do that now in the computer age.
No, not at all.
It's one of those albums that you listen to. You start with track one and you go all the way through. I mean, it's a commitment.
And it will blow your. I mean, it was a mind blowing record for me.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it's not my favorite Pink Floyd album. My favorite is probably Animals.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Animals, that's the album you first told us that you were going to pick. So that's the one I listened to, a song called Sheep, which was...
Wow.
I think it was it's like an 8-minute long song or something, right?
It's like a 10-minute song.
Yeah,
it's crazy long. Yeah. You've got that kind of time.
Since you did my only thing I wrote down was San Francisco, the only things I wrote down for the Pink Floyd song Sheep were Somebody Read Animal Farm and...
Yes.
Lamb Cutlets.
So, okay. Right. Dark Side of the Moon is one of the most...
Wait, let's talk about lamb cutlets.
Okay.
Okay, Freddie.
What do you have to say?
I've never had them.
What do you braise them with?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's
go back to Pink Floyd then.
Okay, all right.
Next week on Cooking with Nerds.
Dark Side of the Moon is one of the most famous albums
ever recorded.
Ever recorded.
Period.
And
I think it's still in the top 100, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably
the most perfectly engineered album of all time, too. Thanks to Alan Parsons.
Yes, Alan Parsons.
Yeah.
Have you heard it, Freddie?
No.
Hmm.
God. I have no desire to hear it.
Ever.
I mean, maybe one day. I don't know.
So you don't like the history of music at all? Is that...
Well, history and sitting and listening to an entire album, like, that's two different things.
An entire album.
Because it's one continuous album. It plays literally straight through.
I've heard singles from Pink Floyd that play on the radio, and I don't care for those, so, like, I don't know why I would sit down and listen to a whole album. You know what I mean? Like...
It's amazing.
I don't know what to say.
I'm at a loss of words, and I...
Oh, my gosh.
Have you ever heard the entire album of The Damned, Machine Gun Etiquette?
No.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they have had so much influence on rock, so, yeah.
Well, that's one of my favorite bands, so, like, I've listened to the whole thing, where you guys, you don't really care for them as much.
Well, I know, but this is a classic. I mean, like,
this is something that...
To you,
To the world.
To the world. This is not
like, everybody who listens to great music knows...
underground indie thing that I'm into
The Damned,
right,
Machine
now.
Gun Etiquette is pretty popular.
I think they're a close second right behind Pink Floyd.
Thank you.
Everyone knows that.
Yes.
God.
All right. Well, let's move on.
Please.
We got a groove on.
Yeah. Let's move on to our next topic. If you had to explain rock and roll to someone who's never heard it or knows what it is in just one song, which song would that be? John, which song did you pick to explain rock and roll?
Interestingly enough, we actually picked the same song originally.
We who?
You and I.
Okay.
KB.
That's right.
But after I went back and was thinking about it, I went with Rosalita by Bruce Springsteen. Let's take a listen. 'Cause I play in a rock and roll band. Why don't your pop don't dig me? He never did understand. Pop a roll with the boom, lock in your room. Right to liberate you, confiscate you. I wanna be a man. Someday we'll look back on this and it will all seem funny. La la la. Now you say, oh, it's me. So, Freddie, what did you think about Rosalita by Bruce Springsteen?
I liked it.
Oh, my God.
I love Bruce Springsteen.
Shocked.
The reason I went with the song is...
Bruce.
Is Bruce.
What was that?
That's what people do with the show. You think they're booing, but they're not.
Oh.
Okay.
It has lots of lyrics, this song.
It has lots of... I actually have
this song is like 8 minutes long. Why do you like this song? It's an eight... like live song.
But this song's like upbeat. It's got lots of stuff going on. It has that cool change toward the end with that like little punchy part.
Uh-huh.
You know, like... This song, I could get more down with it. But, you know, the others are more like slow and dragging and I don't know. Although the Led Zeppelin song that Jason picked did pick up toward the end. It has that part that kind of gets exciting toward
the
end.
So you did listen to the whole thing.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice. No, the reason I picked this song was, to me, it conveys the energy. It conveys the mood of rock and roll.
Like the attitude.
The attitude.
Because when I think rock and roll, I think saxophone solos.
What happened to the saxophone
solo? Where has that gone?
I don't know. Because
well, I was being sarcastic.
At one point, you're right, though. You couldn't have a rock song without a sax solo.
Exactly.
Like Foreigner, Urgent.
George Harrison had them all over the place.
Like
Jets?
The Jets. Yeah. When I think rock and roll, I think the Jets. Anyway.
You know, I'm not sure if you saw the video that I sent.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, girls are coming up on stage, and he is just playing. He's not breaking character. But, you know, they're kissing him.
Character? Bruce Springsteen's a character?
Everybody's a character.
He's the boss.
Stage.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
I didn't know why you picked the song at first, and it wasn't until I saw the video that I noticed
I thought it was an odd choice.
I was like, really?
I really thought that you would see question marks go over everybody's head.
Yeah.
I
definitely questioned the choice, but after I saw the video, I really liked it. I thought it was amazing, and it definitely encompasses what rock and roll is.
I kind of thought the same thing because I'm not the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan.
I'm not either.
But yeah, after seeing that video and listening to the overall mood of the song, yeah, you can definitely tell this is rock and roll.
Exactly.
So good pick, John.
Thank you. But, you know, there's a moment where one girl runs up there and she kisses him and they
it's
push
Courtney
her
Cox.
Off. And
that's a different
video. But, you know, and as they're pushing her off the stage, he goes running after her, just, you know, comically, and he's just into the performance.
Yeah, at one point he's like, all right!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can tell that
he's feeding off the energy of the audience,
exactly.
And at the same time, they're pumping him up.
And so to me,
yeah, it's rock and roll.
That's what rock and roll is. Yeah.
I actually chose a live performance myself. Jimi Hendrix, live from Monterey. This is Wild Thing. So check it out.
This version of Wild Thing.
Freddie, did you watch this video?
It's the one where he sets his guitar on fire?
Yes, this is the one he sets his guitar on fire. And he's sitting there and he's just summoning the flames and it's just,
transcendent moment.
Yeah, and you look at the crowd and they're just shocked. And then he grabs it and he starts smashing it and he eventually just.
But also, this was a lot of people's introduction to Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah,
they thought he was just like a wild bushman or something and didn't know what to expect. And he comes out and starts doing this, and people's faces were literally melting.
Yeah.
Like, did not know what to expect. So,
it was a defining moment. I mean, it'll be etched in rock history forever.
Oh, yeah. Sure. And it's an iconic moment, just even, you know, just picturing him coming out.
Summoning the gods of rock
and then
fire.
Just burning it all down. Amazing. Great pick, Jason.
This was the second time he lit his guitar on fire. The first time he did it was, I think, 3 months ago.
Not 3 months ago from now.
Three months prior. 3 months prior, and he burned his hand real bad, had to be taken to the hospital. But this was the first time that it was captured on film.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's a really good pick. And especially since he reworked such a well-known song and made it his own. And then just blew the doors off of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, that was just a turning point for many, many people that had never heard of him before.
Yeah.
So Wild Thing was originally by a band called The Trogs?
That's right. Yeah,
yep.
The Trogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Trivia.
Ah.
Yes.
My birthday, the day that I was born in 1999, was...
Kind of mumbled there.
I know.
I think I heard it.
A Lady Never Tells.
The number one song. Wow. Thank you. The number one song in the country, Wild Thing by the Trogs.
It's nice.
Thank you. About me.
So, well, that was not the 90s.
So.
No.
So. Well, that was great. Freddie, which song did you pick to explain rock and roll?
I picked MC5's Kick Out the Jams,
Censored!
Let's take a listen.
I feel pretty
So, yeah, I think it should be obvious why I picked that. That song just rocks hard. It's awesome. It's
like
good.
Like the Hard Girls?
Like the Hard Girls. They rock, yeah.
Yeah.
When I first met KB, he asked me this question, and I thought, you know what? MC5, Kick Out the Jams. I didn't even think about it. I just said it. And, I thought about playing something different here, but I couldn't think of anything that more encapsulated that. And there's videos of them playing this. This was put out in 1969. It blows my mind that it was put out then. It's just, you would think this could be put out by, like, this could be a song by Classics of Love that comes out today.
Yeah,
like,
and these guys are so influential and get so little credit.
We were discussing Rock and Roll of Fame. I don't understand how they're not in.
Yeah.
I just can't. I mean, you talk about very groundbreaking.
Yeah.
1969. I mean, this is like how many years before the birth of punk? I mean.
Yeah, it was like them and the Stooges were right together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love this song.
And it's so high energy, in your face, just no holds barred. That's from Freddie.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I couldn't imagine seeing these guys live because even on, on record, this comes across as so loud. And
Just
seeing these guys live, I would imagine
the energy behind it is just overwhelming.
Would not be able, you couldn't handle it. So just these guys, MC5, just that's a great pick, Freddie.
I want to mention this right quick. I was gonna pick a song by Jay Retard, just because he's a more modern artist that encapsulates just like balls out,
right.
Don't give a F rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I actually saw a video of him from Amoeba Records in Los Angeles, and they let him pick out like 5 records he could get for free. And it was crazy that I was thinking MC5 and Jay Retard, because he actually picked out an MC5 record when he was going through and getting free records. And he's like, I love this record because it sounds like crap.
Did he get it on teal vinyl?
Wow.
Because nothing says rock and
that's
roll.
That's a callback.
Like teal vinyl.
Teal vinyl.
Yeah, but yeah, that's another artist that if you're looking for stuff, just balls out rock and roll.
Didn't he die?
He did die. Yeah, and Michael Davis, as I mentioned earlier, the bass player for MC5.
No, and Jay Retard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Davis is another one. No one really mentioned, but influential beyond all belief. Just, no mention.
Way too much talk about death on the show.
Except OTL.
Yeah, you heard it here.
That's right.
I don't know.
KB, what was your pick for a song that would define rock and roll?
The song I picked was the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter. Let's check it out.
As I mentioned earlier,
you did.
That was the exact same song I picked, and I mean, I had that. That to me encapsulated everything great about rock and roll.
Oh yeah, it's in my mind. It's everything that's good about rock and roll. It's dark. It's heavy. It's moody.
It's soul.
It has every
element,
and it's got just an amazing rhythmic riff, and then it just.
The chorus.
Just the whole thing from start to finish is just really just amazing rock and roll.
Exactly.
I think also this was a song that they recorded at a very heavy time for them. And it was, a heavy time because it was right in the depths of the Vietnam War. And it was just something that I think just came out at the right time. Also, they recorded it with a singer. The female vocalist is named Mary Clayton. And
have you heard her version of this? She does her own version of
this. Does she?
No, I didn't know that.
All soul,
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. It's pretty rocking.
No, I actually haven't. That's
wow.
Have you ever heard this song, Broken Out?
Yeah, by track.
By track?
Yeah, it's incredible.
It is really neat.
Yeah.
You ever heard that?
Yeah, the...
They isolate each track.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, man, it's really cool.
And isolating her vocals. Oh, my gosh.
Well, they brought her in, at the last minute, and they even brought her in, in the middle of the night, and she still had, curlers in her hair, and they just... She was pregnant, and, the story goes that she strained so hard to get these notes that she actually suffered a miscarriage.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's really like, you know, it's a dark, dark song, but it's...
Well, and it's interesting that it's a dark song because, you know, with Altamont...
Yeah.
I mean, that was a zeitgeist.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be the West Coast Woodstock, but it ended up being just a huge, huge mess.
But the darkness in that song is very relevant.
But I think this song, you know, like I was saying, if someone had never heard rock and roll, I think this song would encapsulate everything that is soulful, is
bluesy,
rock, raw, just, you know, in your face kind of. Just, and I love the Stones, so, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with the Stones. Let It Bleed, the album this appears on, is one of my favorite Stones albums.
One of my other, because I actually, when I was thinking about Gimme Shelter, I thought of Can You Hear Me Knocking, which is another one of my all-time favorites.
That's a great one.
The entire Let It Bleed album.
Yeah.
Freddie, what do you think about Gimme Shelter?
It's a great song.
Good. All right, next.
I don't have much to say about it. My only note is, when I was watching the video on YouTube, this guy's top comment was, I went to type in Rolling Stones, so I typed in Rolling, and instead of Rolling Stones, it brought up Adele's Rolling in the Deep.
Oh, yeah.
And he put, the world is dead.
Yeah, that is pretty awful. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with her, but, you know.
Yeah.
But at least it wasn't your Amist version that came up first.
Yeah, right.
Which was truly awful.
Oh.
Cool. All right. Anybody else?
Nope.
All right. Now, moving on, we're going to an email that we didn't get to last time. John, do you want to read our email from our loyal listener?
Why, certainly. I would like to know what the first album each member of the podcast ever bought and or received as a gift.
That's a great question.
It is. Let's start with Freddie.
Well, I would think if all of our parents loved us, the answer would be received as a gift because, you know, most people... would get a gift. You're not usually working when you're 6 or 7, 8 years old.
Well, that's true, but I mean, you have an allowance. But if your parents loved you, they would have gotten you Dark Side of the Moon first.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, they didn't. There's a few cassettes that I had that I could think I distinctly remember jamming out to. I'm getting very choked up about just thinking about
it. It's sentimental.
I had Tag Team's Whoop, There It Is, cassette single.
Yes.
Side A... regular, side B instrumental, so you could do your own version of it, which I knew all the words to.
Did you run around the house performing this for your parents?
Of course. And I also had Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus.
That's another winner.
Really good one. And then the final cassette that I also remember having really early was the soundtrack to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze with the ninja rap by Vanilla Ice.
Oh, that's a good one.
You can really see how all these hip-hop and country, musics really influenced all my picks recently.
Yeah. It kind of makes you who you are.
No, but not really. I don't know. It's weird.
No, it's great.
It's weird what you listen to as a kid. Yeah. Like, I was like probably 6, 7 years old when I was listening to that stuff. So.
Do you still have these?
I might still have some of them. And I grew up in Georgia, so there might be some.
That's cool. John, what about you? What was your first?
I believe my first record was the Jetsons cartoon album.
Was it an actual record?
It was an actual record, but since it wasn't technically music related, I believe the first album I got was the Beatles Blue 1967 to 1970.
The anthology?
The anthology.
Yeah.
It was previous to the anthology series of albums, but it was a blue and a red, and they were double albums.
Right.
Nice.
And it was the latter part. And that's what, it's really funny. When I listen to a lot of those songs on that album, I expect to hear pops. I expect to hear where it jumps, you know, or gets stuck on a part and I have to move the needle. To this day, when I hear something, I expect that to happen.
Right. It's like when you put together a really good mixtape and then you hear a song on the radio and you expect the song to follow it to be the one on your mixtape.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I tell you what, I loved that album. It was one of those things.
It was because you listened to it over and over.
Over and over again.
How old were you when you had this?
I want to say I was like 10, maybe 8, somewhere
around. Wow. You were listening to much more respectable music at a young age than I was.
Yes, I had brothers and sisters who
and
loved
arguably,
me.
Even to this day, you're still listening to more respectable music than me.
Oh, no. That's so sweet.
That's love right there.
Man. That is love.
I'm feeling a lot of love right now.
Speaking of love, Jason, what was yours?
My parents loved me so much that they bought me the record to Walt Disney's Robin Hood.
Nice.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And
to
this day,
Roger Miller.
I still love Roger Miller, man. He is awesome.
That is. Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah, so I love that one. When I was finally able to buy records on my own, I guess I was about 6 years old, and I bought The Cars, Heartbeat City, Prince, Purple Rain, and Duran Duran, Seven and the Ragged Tiger.
I remember purchasing Paul McCartney's, my first thing I ever purchased was Paul McCartney's Back to the Egg and Styx Cornerstone.
Wow.
Okay, cool. The first album I ever bought, I think with my own money, and I still have it on cassette, is The Chipmunks Go Hollywood.
Nice.
That's, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. That's hot, man. Yeah. Featuring such hits as Survivor's Eye of the Tiger.
Is that how you got the ladies?
I was a pimp in the second grade. I'm not going to lie.
Dude.
I was like, hey.
So, in second grade.
Yeah.
Was it at 33 and you could put it up to 45 RPMs, or was it 45 and you could take it down to death?
That's a very good question.
That is a good question.
I actually had it on cassette, so I didn't have it on vinyl. But that's great. That's a good
trick.
I
also had that cassette.
That's a good one, man.
It was awesome.
And then I think quickly after that, I got Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll. It's another good one. I still have that one, too.
You probably heard that on the Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I may have, yeah.
Tape, because it was on there.
Yeah.
See, I almost never owned anything like Chipmunks. I was a music snob at 9, I think.
There is nothing wrong with Alvin and the Chipmunks.
You know what? No. Looking back, I know. But back then, I was indie before there was indie.
Yeah. Wow.
Hipster. Hipster.
Whoa. The hipster call.
So great. That was a great question. Thanks for sending that in, loyal listener. And also, we're holding a logo contest. If anyone wants to help us out and provide a logo for us, please include these elements in your design. It's pretty simple, straightforward. We're not getting rid of the awesome Freddie Hawk logo, but we would like a logo that incorporates the following. It's a dragon with a mustache and a star-shaped sunglasses, breakdancing in a pit of fire while playing a drum set with a guitar, riding a motorcycle that is jumping over Bigfoot, the monster truck. Not the enigmatic mythical beast, that is already jumping over 6 18-wheelers while both drivers are engaged in a kung fu fight. Simple.
It's very
easy.
Simple.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
My son will probably win.
I'm surprised no one has done this yet.
I mean, seriously.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think whoever can submit that first, you know, I'm sure there'll be multiple submissions, but whoever, you know.
All you artistic people out there.
How on earth are they going to submit it to us?
Well, you can send it to our Facebook, which is Facebook OTL Podcast, or you can send it to our Gmail, which is otlcast@gmail.com, or you can log on to our website, otlcast.com, and we are going to try to have all the links to the music posted onto our otlcast.com, so I know we talk a lot about music, and if you want to hear more clips and longer versions of the songs, you can actually check it out on our site, otlcast.com.
Oh, and our Twitter.
Yeah, don't forget to tweet us. Tweet us?
@OTLcast.
@OTLcast. All right. And speaking of OTLcast, Freddie got an amazing, overwhelming response with the song that he played last time. So in appreciation of Black History Month, he wanted to play another song to help celebrate. So are y'all in tune? Are you ready? Again, he's playing this POS brand guitar.
Trash guitar. Freddie's trash guitar song.
I found, and he is just making it sing like a songbird.
So I'm a little under the weather this week.
That's all right.
I'm going to do this in the vein of Tom Waits, I guess.
What is this? I don't know what this is.
I think I do.
You
packed and you're stacked, especially in the back. You wanna thank your mother for a butt like that? Can I get some fries with a shake, shake booty? If looks could kill, son, you know you'd be an Uzi. Your shotgun, bang! What's up with that thing? I wanna know who? How does it hang? Straight up, wet up, like Mr. Lover. Like Prince says, use a sexy mother. I like him real wild. B-boy style by the mile. Smooth black skin with a smile. Bright as the sun, I wanna have some fun. Come, come, come and give me some of that yum, yum chocolate chip honey dip. Can I get a scoop? Let me take a ride in your coupe. You made me wanna shoot. A shoot, ba-doop, a shoot, ba-doop, a shoot, ba-doop, 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 a shoot, shoo-be-doo-be, I like Scooby-Dooby. You made me wanna shoot.
Excellent. Outstanding.
Oh, my God.
Outstanding.
You know what?
I'm crying right now.
There was you still get, some badness.
No way.
You get a Mountain Dew every day this week from me.
That's wow. Amazing.
Please, please.
I want to hug you right now.
We're starting the show with that. This and then playing it the whole show.
This goes in the category of covers that are better than the original.
That's exactly right.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. And always, thank you to Kevin Leisure, the best sound engineer in the business. Can't tell you how much we appreciate all your help. And Jim Welch, everything you help us out with the post-production. He's got his own podcast. Check it out. It's all about audio for video games. WelchCompositions.com/podcast. Please keep the emails coming, and we love to hear from you. So from all of us to all of you, thanks for listening, and catch you next time.
Love you.
Thanks to Salt and Pepper.
Kisses.
Duck strip clubs.
What?
Peace.